Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to the book of Joshua, the third chapter, please. Joshua chapter 3. I'd like to begin reading in the first verse, and we'll read about six verses. No, make that eight verses. We'll read eight verses tonight. Beginning in Joshua chapter 3, verse 1. The Bible says, "And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, When ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priest, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore." I want you to underline that phrase. That is the phrase that I'm going to be preaching on tonight. "For ye have not passed this way heretofore." And Joshua said unto the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, "Take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people." And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, "This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priest that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, When ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in the Jordan." All right, this morning I spoke to you out of the book of Deuteronomy, where Moses had the children of Israel right on the brink of the water. They were basically at the same spot as where they are here in the book of Joshua. Moses gave his message, his words of encouragement and commandment to the people. And then God led him over to the mountains of Nebo, where God took him onto heaven. And God himself scooped out the dirt, placed the body of Moses in the ground, and buried him. And now Joshua is the leader of God's people. And Joshua has the people in the same spot, give or take. He has the people in the same spot, and they are on the brink of banks of the Jordan, on the brink of crossing over into the land that they had been walking towards for 40 years. And now we find Joshua giving some words of encouragement and comfort and commandments to the people. And I want us to think of the message that we heard this morning, and then think about the backward look, the remembering that we are to do. But you'll notice in verse 4 that Joshua said, as they stood and as they looked across the Jordan, and they looked into the land where they had not yet been, and Joshua says to them, "For ye have not passed this way heretofore." This morning we look backwards. Tonight we want to look forwards. I want to entitle my message tonight, "The Forward Look." Let's pray together and ask the Lord's blessings. Father, how very thankful we are that we can come together, that we can sing about your grace and your goodness, and we can hear the testimony of how you've worked in our church today. Lord, we thank you that we can give that kind of a testimony. And I pray that you will bless now as we open the Word. And Lord, as I preach about your goodness and your love and your mercy, Lord, help us to realize that that love and that mercy and that goodness has been extended to every person in this room tonight. There's not a one of us, Lord, that you don't love, so much so that you sent your Son to die on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin. Lord, the supreme offering was made for our souls, and we thank you for that. And now, Lord, I pray that you will bless the preaching of the Word and help me tonight. Lord, I need your help tonight. And there are many things that are vying for my attention. So help me, Lord, to concentrate. Help me to have the words and to say what needs to be said. And Lord, stir our hearts with what we're about to hear. Father, we've trusted you to this day. We have trusted you to this moment. Now, Lord, give us the faith to trust you in the days ahead. No matter what we might have to face, give us the strength to trust your grace and your goodness, that you know everything that is before us. So give us that confidence, Lord, in your ability, and we'll thank you and praise you for what you do in Christ's name. Amen. Well, this morning we looked at that passage of Scripture in Deuteronomy where Moses asked the people to remember. Moses asked the people to look back and remember what God had done for them. And tonight we look at a passage of Scripture where Joshua, who was the successor to Moses as Israel's leader, and Joshua tells the people, as they're standing in basically the same spot, that they need to look forward. They've looked backwards under Moses' command, and now Joshua tells the people that they are to look forward. The children of Israel are still on the boundary. They're still on the margin of the land. So their circumstances are basically the same as they were when they were addressed by Moses. However, things are about to dramatically change. The wilderness is behind them, and the land of promise is before them. Now, granted, much can be gained, as we saw this morning, by looking backwards and by remembering what the Lord has done for us. As I said this morning, nothing brings thanksgiving to our hearts like taking time to look back and realizing all the great and mighty things that God has done for us. If we would but take a little bit of time every now and then to look back and to practice remembering, I think we would be a stronger people. Our faith would certainly be stronger, our confidence would grow, and our trust in God's ability would certainly rise. And just having that on the forefront of our minds would certainly make us better Christians and happier people. It is great to know and to understand and to have full confidence that God is right there with us all along the journey. But tonight, we look at this passage and we see Joshua's challenge to the people that they should look forward. As they stood on the edge of the land, they saw before them the great unknown. None of them, except for Joshua himself and Caleb, had been across that river to see what that land was like. Oh, I'm sure that they had some idea listening to the stories of Joshua and Caleb, but as they stood on the banks of the Jordan and looked across into the land that God had promised he was going to give them, Joshua said to them, "Ye have not passed this way heretofore." I'm sure there was a great deal of speculation as to what might be in their future, but the truth of the matter is, not any of them could say for sure, except for those two that went over as spies, what lay ahead. They had heard the report that had been given. They heard about the beautiful mountains that were there. They heard about the giants that lived among the Philistines. They heard about the beautiful valleys and the rivers and the abundance of food. And they heard all of this stuff. They heard about the Canaanite civilizations that were there. And they knew basically where all of them lived. But the truth of the matter is, nothing was certain. As they stood and looked across the river, nothing was definite. They had not yet passed this way heretofore. And that got me to thinking as I read the passage in Deuteronomy and then continued on and read the passage in Joshua now, I thought I'll preach this morning on remembering the past, and I'll preach tonight on the future. What does the future hold for you and for me? Now, there are two things that I want to call to your attention tonight. First of all, I want you to think with me about the uncertain future. You see, the truth is, this fact needs no argument. No one here knows what tomorrow holds. There is not a one of us that knows what tomorrow holds. There are four lines of thought that I want to take you into tonight concerning the uncertain future. First of all, there is the fact of the unknown. That's what the future is to each and every one of us tonight. We do not know what tomorrow holds. We do not know what another week is going to bring. We don't know what next month holds or what next fall holds. We just simply do not know. In spite of what the fortune tellers and the palm readers and the card readers and the crystal ball people and the witches and the wizards and all the rest of them have to say, the future is uncertain. They can't a bit more tell you what your future holds than I can. They just do not have that ability. The Word of God says that we do not know what another day may bring forth. And some of the biggest crooks and thieves on the planet are those who tell you that they can read your future. Brethren, they cannot do it. It is all a hoax, it is all a lie, and it has one thing in its mind, and that's to get your money. It is insanity that imagines that anyone can discern the future of another individual. But that does not keep us from being fascinated with the future, does it? We'd all like to know. I mean, every December the 31st, we all feel with excitement around midnight as we think about what the new year might hold. We all get excited when our birthday rolls around as we sit and ponder and think what the next year is going to hold for us now that we're another year older and another year wiser. The truth is, though, you know, the nearer we live to God, the less we care about times and seasons of any kind. You'd realize that? We come to a recognition of the fact that time is eternity. Suns rise and suns set. Seasons come and seasons go, and these are only marks of the time in the divine economy. But as time marches on, we continue to look forward to each new year, to each birthday, and we get all excited as we think about what the future holds. But, let's be real, the facts are clear. We know we're going to have a future, but we certainly do not know what the future holds, but yet we're fascinated by it. A second thing I want to elaborate now on this matter of fascination. We know the fact of the future. We're going to have a future. Tomorrow is going to come. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but tomorrow is going to come. But let me elaborate upon a second thing, and that is the fascination of the unknown. As I thought about our fascination with the unknown, two things came to mind. One is a higher thought and one is a lower thought. Let's do the lower first. The lower motive is that our fascination of the future is born of the passion for the new that ever burns in the heart of mankind. You know, we all like new stuff, don't we? I mean, let's be real. We like new cars and we like new clothes and we like new gadgets and we like new this. That's one reason why I enjoy living here in Maryland is because you have four distinct seasons and every couple of months you get a whole new look at life. Seems like winter was a little longer than it should have been, though, don't you think? And it's fighting to hang on with everything it's got. The lower motive is our fascination of the future, that it is born of the passion for the new that always burns in our hearts. Now, I call this one lower, and you'll see why in just a moment, but by calling it lower, I'm certainly not insinuating that it's wrong or sinful or harmful. It's not. Having a fascination for the future and what will happen is really just a part of our human natures. The passion for the new, the desire for discovery, it's within every healthy human heart. What are you doing every time you read the newspaper? What are you doing every time you sit down and turn on the evening news? What is the fascination? I tell you what it is. It is that need to find out things not known. It is trying to get the bigger picture. And all of us have that within us. We all want to know what's going on. The higher motive, or the higher reason for our fascination, I think is the desire for the better. Someone has said the future is a clean slate. And you will put on that slate what your future holds. One of our passions for the future is that the future be better than our past. Would you agree to that? I mean, we all want things to be better in the days to come than they have been in the days that have passed. And you can see now why I said that this second one is a higher motive. I mean, we want things to improve. We want things to get better. This is why when the New Year's roll around, we start talking about the resolutions we're going to make and the resolutions that we're hopefully going to keep. And you know, nobody ever has or declares or writes a New Year's resolution that says, I resolve this year to be miserable. Nobody says, my resolution this year is to ruin and destroy my life. My goal in 2005 is to make all the wrong decisions about all the most important things in my life. No, our resolutions are always designed to make us better people and to make our lives better. And so there is a higher motive, and that is the desire for the better. Folks, we're fascinated with the future, I think, for these two reasons. We are curious. We want to know. But secondly, we just want better. We want a better life. But then there's a third avenue I want to take you down. We've looked at the fact of the unknown, the fact of the future. We've looked at the fascination of the unknown, the fascination with the future. But then thirdly, there is the fear of the unknown, the fear of the future. This is as real, this is as certain, as positive a quality in our outlook as is the other two. We don't know what the future holds, and so there's this little intimidation on our part. I wonder what's going to happen to me this year. I wonder if this is the year that I go to heaven. And we sit and we think sometimes and wonder, especially the older we get, what our future holds. And we wonder in regard to our health. We wonder in regard to our wealth. We wonder in regard to our safety or a multitude of other areas. I mean, we just don't know what the future holds. Are we going to lose our loved one this year? Are we going to contract some horrible disease? Are we going to have a heart attack? We just don't know. And so there is the fear of the unknown that is before us. We don't know what enemies we'll have to face in the future. And when we do have to face those enemies, will our strength be sufficient? We don't know what the devil's going to hurl at us. You don't know how the devil's going to come after you. It may be that he has been setting you up for weeks and months and years, and he just plans very near in the future to unleash everything he has on you. How are you going to hold up when that happens? How are you going to make it when that time comes? We cannot tell how deep the river might be. We do not know what robbers lie in wait to ambush us. We do not know how torturous the trail is through the mountains. And it is with this same mindset or this same heart that the children of Israel were standing before Joshua, and Joshua was challenging them. Listen, it doesn't make any difference about, don't fear the future, trust God. God is going to get you into that land. And God's going to guide you as well. Oh, they had become accustomed to the perils of the wilderness. They knew them all too well, didn't they? 40 years they had been going through peril after peril. But that which lay ahead was unknown. So naturally there was fear as to their ability to cope with the difficulties that would be in their future. But then fourthly, and I struggled to find a word that starts with F to help me with this, so I might have to explain a little bit here before you see where I'm going. But number four, we've seen the fact, we've seen the fascination, we've seen the fear, but now number four, there is the force of the unknown. We admit the fact, we recognize the fascination because we all do it, we know the fear because most of us at some time or another have those thoughts, but now let's always remember the force of it. Now what do I mean by that? Well, I mean the strength, the value. What is the force of uncertainty? Listen carefully. Because I do not know what tomorrow holds, that forces me to prepare for whatever it may throw at me. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but that means I've got to work on today. I've got to work right now. So that when I do have to face the uncertain future, I have the strength and I have the resolve. I mean, if I knew all the facts of the coming year and I knew that I was going to slide through the year and nothing was going to befall me, I might just get a little careless. I might not give God the attention that I'm supposed to give Him. If I knew that the future was going to be difficult, that would, of course, drive me to the Lord. I just simply don't know what the year's going to hold. And so, out of the mystery and fog and silence, there comes a word out of the Bible. And you'll find this word in the Old Testament. You'll find it in the New Testament. It just literally fills the Bible. And that word is one that all of us need to realize in the light of the fact that we don't know what tomorrow holds. And that word is the word watch. Watch. Oh, Paul talked about watching all the time, didn't he? I mean, he talked about watching. He said, you watch because you don't know when the enemy's going to sneak up behind you. You don't know when the devil's going to come. You don't know when sickness is going to hit you. You don't know when your friends are going to turn on you. You don't know when a loved one's going to die. You just don't know what's going to happen. So always be watching. Always be watching. Learn the force of the unknown through Joshua's challenge. Look at verse 5. Joshua said unto the people, what's the next word? Sanctified. You know what that word means? It means to set apart. It means to separate yourself. Sanctify yourselves. For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Joshua said to the men encamped along the river with the wilderness behind them and the land of promise before them, sanctify yourselves. For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Now notice the contrast, folks. Tomorrow for God. Today for me. You see, I'm supposed to get close to God today so that tomorrow God can get close to me and help me when I have to face tomorrow. Today for you, because you do not know what tomorrow will bring. And folks, don't use today for yourself. Use today for God. Sanctify yourselves. Let God take care of tomorrow. Today, you take care of your relationship with Him, and then let Him take care of tomorrow. Remember, you've never passed this way before. You don't know what tomorrow holds. You don't know what is beyond tomorrow. And so you better be prepared. You better be watching with your heart sanctified. And you do that today while there's time to do it. You don't know what tomorrow will bring, but you're here today and you can consecrate yourself to the Lord today so that tomorrow the Lord can and will do mighty things with you. Then the second thing I want you to think about tonight, and it's almost paradoxical to what I just said, but I think you'll see the direction that I'm going. The first thing I wanted you to look at was the uncertain future. But then secondly, I want you to think with me of the certainties of the future. You see, there's some things about the future that we know to be true. And I'm not just talking about the prophetic things. I'm not going to go there tonight. We know those are true because they're in the Word. We know Jesus is coming. We know the trumpet is going to sound. The dead in Christ are going to rise. And then those of us that are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet Him in the clouds. We know then that we're going to stay 7 years in heaven. There's going to be 7 years of tribulation on the earth. And then Jesus is coming back and all of us are coming back with Him. And He's going to defeat the Antichrist and the false prophet and send the devil into the pit. And we know all that prophecy. We know all that. That's going to happen. That's certain. It's in the Bible. But for your benefit and mine, let's suppose Jesus tarries His coming for a while. Let me talk about the certainties of the future if Jesus tarries His coming. There are three things I want you to see here. First of all, the certainty of the future can be seen in the past. The certainty of the future can be seen in the past. Now listen very carefully, folks. You have never been beyond right now. You have never been beyond right now. And therefore you do not know what tomorrow holds. But one thing is sure. You have already experienced the past. Some of you have experienced a whole lot more past than the rest of us have. So you know that God is God and that He will continue to be God. You can have that assurance. You say, well, how do I know for sure? Because you've already lived in the past. And you know that 25 years ago when you first got saved, God was God and He saved your soul. You know that tonight God is God and He is always going to be God. The future may hold some dark days, but you've already been through some dark days and you found the Lord was with you then. You remember when you got the news and when your heart was melting within you and you didn't know if you were going to make it another day and you cried out, oh God, help me. And what did you find? You found God was there to lift you up and to put you on the right track. Oh, it might have taken some time, but you found God to be true. So don't panic. He will be with you in the future. Deliverance speaks of deliverance. Deliverance prophesies of deliverance. Supply promises supply. Guidance predicts guidance. There is an unknown land before us, but we can march right into it and conquer it because we know God will be by our side. We don't ever have to worry about that. He's not failed us in the past. And we can have calm assurance that He will never fail us in the future. The one thing nothing can take away from me is yesterday. You might scare me with next week. I hope you don't, but you might scare me with next week. You may try to confuse me about what I will probably have to face in your estimation, but you cannot confuse me about what God did for me last week. You simply cannot do that. And that gives me strength to launch out and to move on in faith. There's a second certainty that I want to call to your attention. I said the first certainty is of the future. The future is a tremendous, the past is a tremendous barometer on the future. But then, a second certainty of the future is the present. The present. What we do in the present will have a great impact upon our future. I want you to look at what Joshua said in verse 5. He said, sanctify yourselves. When? Next week? No, today. Right now, in the present. Sanctify yourselves. Why? Because tomorrow, the future, tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. A second certainty of the future is the present. Joshua stands before the people and he begs them to trust God today. Live for God today so you won't have to worry about tomorrow. Wouldn't it be a shame if tomorrow some disaster took place and you said, oh, I need to pray. But you can't pray because your heart is so calloused and so hardened and you are so backslidden, you bow your head and nothing comes out. You feel like David when he said, Lord, where are you? Why have you abandoned me, God? God pulled away from David. He certainly didn't abandon him, but he pulled away from David because David's heart had gotten away from the Lord. And God just pulled away a little bit and let David go through some storms. And when he got down in the midst of the storms, he cried out. And God was nowhere near. Folks, it's a shame when God's people allow day after day after day after day after day, and you don't fellowship with God. And then all of a sudden the storm comes and you're in the midst of the storm and it looks like the ship that you're in is going down and you cry out and you say, oh God! And then you look around and say, well, where is he? Where did he go? Oh, you can be assured he's there. He's just wanting you to look for him. He's there. You don't want to live your life so that you have to spend hours confessing your sin and getting your heart right and getting conditioned and getting broken. My soul, Joshua said, sanctify yourself. Notice that. He didn't say, let God sanctify you. No, he said, sanctify yourself. You don't know what tomorrow brings. But if you're sanctifying yourself on a daily basis and staying in fellowship with God, then you won't worry about what tomorrow will bring because you'll know that God is going to be there to guide you through whatever it is that you have to face. Fran sung a song Friday night at the junior senior banquet that the choir sings here, and I hope they'll sing it again sometime. I like it. And it says, I won't have to cross Jordan alone. I knew what I was preaching on, and when she sang that song, I thought, boy, oh boy, listen to that. Somebody ought to sing that Sunday night. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. You sanctify your heart, and you won't have to cross Jordan alone. Of course, folks, the primary illustration here, Jordan means descending. It's always referred to in the Bible as in picture form as the river of death. And the idea is you cross over into death, you won't have to go alone. That's what that song's about. But for application here, you don't have to cross Jordan alone. You say, well, I don't know what's over there. It's okay. God's going with you. It's not a problem. It's not a problem. Here they are on the banks of the Jordan getting ready to cross over into the land. But listen, if we take care of today, we can be assured God will be with us tomorrow. Oh, there's no time like today to live for God. The past is the past. You cannot go back and relive it. You just cannot. You cannot relive the past. The present is passing. And try as hard as you want, you cannot stop the present. 15 minutes ago, I was talking about the present, but now 15 minutes ago is past. It's past. And if I'm going to refer to what I said 15 minutes ago, I have to refer to it in the past tense. But in reality, we never possess anything, certainly, except tomorrow. That brings me to the third point. The third point. And that is the certainty of the future. Folks, we're going to have a future. Unless Jesus comes and raptures us out of here, and then our future becomes eternity. But if Jesus tarries his coming, the sun's coming up tomorrow. And the sun will set tomorrow. And then we'll sleep through the night, and then it'll start the whole process over again. And not a one of us knows what's out there. Not a one of us. And the reality of the matter is, we never possess anything certainly except for tomorrow. But here's the good news, folks. If we are trusting God because we know what He's done in the past, and if we are in the present, broken, walking with God, humbled, surrendered, consecrated, no matter what the future has in store, we're going to be able to face it because our God will stand by our side. With God's help, I can have an impact on others. With God's help, listen, even though I've done nothing with my life up to this point, if I will consecrate myself, God can use me in the days ahead. I can have an impact on others. I can see to it that I win my family to Christ. Dear friend, do you realize that if your loved ones don't do what you've done and accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they're going to spend eternity in hell? Who better to reach them than you? Why don't you consecrate yourself tonight and then use the future to be used of God to get those folks into the kingdom of heaven? You can make a difference. You could make the difference. I can see to it that I make a difference in that class of children that I teach. Let me tell you something, teacher. What you do, do not take it lightly. What you do impacts those children for the rest of their lives. Oh, when you go in there, go in prepared. Go in praying over that lesson. Go in having that lesson burning in your heart. Be like Jeremiah of old and have the Word of God burning in your bones. And give that lesson with every fiber of your being. You don't know what the future holds for those little ones that sit before you. And who knows but what something you say might make a difference in some little child's life. I can still see my Sunday school teacher when I was a kid. I can still see Walt standing there. I can't even think of his last name right now, but I can think of his first name. And I can still see that man standing there with an open Bible teaching us about Jesus and the tears streaming down his face. I never got over that. I can make a difference in the lives of my children. I can make a difference in the lives of those that I impact. You see, the future is mine. The future is yours. And we can get something done for God if we will simply realize we don't have to cross Jordan alone. Oh, it's so true. You don't know what tomorrow holds. But you can face tomorrow with confidence, with assurance, with strength, and with a smile on your face. Hey, don't let the world scare you. Don't let the world scare you. Don't let the devil defeat you. You've never passed this way before, but you've passed this way before. You've passed this way before, and as you have passed this way, you've known the Lord, but you've never passed this way before. So what I want you to do tonight is stand here in the present and say, Lord, I'm going to consecrate my heart to You tonight. I'm going to give You my heart tonight. I don't know what You can do with me, but You can certainly do something. And if you will just consecrate your heart to the Lord tonight, you can turn and you can face the unknown, just like the children of Israel faced it, with full assurance and full confidence that when you take that step, there's going to be dry ground to walk on. When you take that step, you don't have to worry about stepping into the mire and the muck. God reached down just like He did when they came into the wilderness to let them out. God blew a path, backed up the waters, and let them cross over the Jordan on dry ground. And you can walk across on dry ground face tomorrow, knowing that God is going to give you the victory. Folks, listen, read your Bible. Know the mind of God. Get involved in the church in some area, in some aspect. Let the Word of God make an impact on your heart. Let the Word of God speak to your heart. And then you take the Word of God and you use that Word to make an impact upon the souls of men. Pray. Be faithful. Win souls. Enjoy being a child of God. And you'll find the future a land of blessing and opportunity for the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you now for this time together tonight, and I pray that you will bless what's been said to our hearts. Lord, help us to realize that we don't know what tomorrow holds, but we can know who holds tomorrow. We can know the God that is in complete control, and Lord, we can trust Him and just march right across the river without any fear or any intrepidation whatsoever. But Lord, we first got to consecrate ourselves. So I pray that you'll help us tonight to just take some time here at the end of this service and dedicate and consecrate our hearts to service for you. That Lord, we'll realize that you love us and you want to bless. And Lord, I pray that you'll deal with hearts. May this altar be filled tonight with folks more comfortable up here at the altar than they are in their seats. Lord, just do your work now in our midst, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.